my life fades. The vision dims. All that remains are memories. I remember a time of chaos. Ruined dreams. This wasted land. But most of all, I remember the road warrior, the man we called Max. To understand who he was, you have to go back to another time, when the world was powered by the black fuel, and the desert sprouted great cities of pipe and steel. Gone now, swept away. For reasons long forgotten, two mighty warrior tribes went to war and touched off a blaze which engulfed them all. Without fuel, they were nothing. They'd built a house of straw. The thundering machine sputtered and stopped. Their leaders talked and talked and talked. But nothing could stem the avalanche. Their world crumbled. The cities exploded. A whirlwind of looting. A firestorm of fear. Men began to feed on men. On the roads, it was a white line nightmare. Only those mobile enough to scavenge, brutal enough to pillage, would survive. The gangs took over the highways, ready to wage war for a tank of juice. And in this maelstrom of decay, ordinary men were battered and smashed.
Men the law, country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, December 29th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sid Rep for Corporate Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your ad space and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this program, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, as well as SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this program any way that you see fit. Never mind the feedback. I have got an absolute ton of news to try to communicate with you guys today. And boy, this is going to be the stuff that's going to make your hair catch on fire. Really, really brutal. Now, right off the top, first one I'm going to talk about is this great story that Sim is going to love. As everybody knows, the way we get around television, because we were talking about TV the other day, right? You know, we were saying that if you wanted to get around television and you want to watch TV and you want to get by the commercials and just watch the good stuff, well, what do? Well, you just get it on DVD, right? So you can watch the DVDs, no commercials, everything's cool. But now it seems that Japan are making sure the commercials can't be skipped over in Japan. That's what they're doing. And, of course, if you want to see what's going to be happening in the Western world, look to the East first, especially in countries that are on the bleeding edge, like Japan. Now, this is from the Kyoto News here. Nippon Television Network Corp. has been skillfully... The Nippon Television Network Corp. has been skillfully inserting commercials into late-night drama Wonder Tours that began broadcasting in September. When a woman who plays a radio celebrity in the drama moves a switch, a red CM appears on the right side of the screen. And the program shifts to a driving scene in which the two performers talk about their vehicles. So they kind of like mix the two in. You know what I mean? So it's like all of a sudden, is it part of the show? Is it not part of the show? Only now they're making it so that, you know, the performers you were watching are now, you know, talking about what vehicles they drive and how much they like them in character. The effort by NTV is a challenge to conventional commercials, which are increasingly failing to keep the attention of TV viewers. Rather than halting programs to run conventional commuters, to run conventional commercials, I thought the new CM would be interesting, said Kundo Koyama, broadcasting writer who planned the program. Broadcasting and advertising officials are paying attention. They want to see if this will keep viewers from skipping commercials. Kayuza Toda, producer at NTV, said that behind their attempts to run ads simultaneously, which programs, which is the traditional drop in audience during commercials. So the minute there's a, you know, there's a commercial, everybody either skips it or goes past, especially with, you know, these, you know, video recorders they got now. You know, it's all hard drives. You can actually record the show like half hour in advance or whatever, hour in advance. Go through it, skip through the commercials, and you're good to go. The per-minute audience rating usually drops by several points, Toda said. But no such drop has been seen in the new approach because, well, people, if they're not paying total attention, won't be able to tell where the commercial is and where it's not. Chikeo Minami, chief of advertising at Nissan Motor Company, which is sponsoring Wonder Tours, said the new ad is resembled... the new ad is remembered, even though it's not shown so often. It has been quite effective. Well, of course it is. It's like a total throwback to the old days where, you know, you'd have, like, Desi Arnaz on The Tonight Show, and he's like, oh, I'm going to fire up a smoke here. Why don't you guys do that at home? They do that as well. It was like it was indivisible. More than half of the people who use digital video recorders skip at least 80% of ads when watching programs they've recorded, according to the Nomura Research Institute Limited, a report released in May. The report caused a stir because of the popularization of DVRs could adversely affect the business model of commercial broadcasters. Oh no, no more DVRs, which don't charge viewers to watch programs and instead make money through ad revenues. Dentsu Incorporated, Japan's largest advertising company, on the other hand, announced the results in a survey in Britain showing that even in households with DVRs, real-time viewing and listening hours are increasing without commercial skipping. Uh-huh. Yet in Japan, data suggested that compared to households without DVRs, those having them spend fewer hours in real-time viewing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because they're probably a little bit more technically savvy. You know, I mean, people who have DVRs, you know, it's kind of still pretty bleeding edge. I don't got one of those, you know. Got to kind of be who's who in the zoo to have one of those things. So, you know, naturally, you're going to be exploiting the technology. It's new and shiny. That's what you want to look at. Sensing a crisis, all members of the National Association of Commercial Broadcasters in Japan began to broadcast CM of CM by popular entertainer Ara Matsuda in August, informing audiences about profitable goods and the latest fashions and proclaiming the importance of ads as a form of entertainment. Because after all, you know, you should enjoy the fact that we're raping your minds of an individual will. Companies are continuing ways to ensure their commercials are not ignored. And these guys will do anything. I mean, you know, there's no laws governing whether or not they're putting subliminals in there. We don't, you know, nothing that, none of that's enforced. In a tie-up with Asai National Broadcasting Company, Shiseido Company, a major cosmetics firm, or Shiseido, yeah, I think that's how you say that, last summer started airing 54 kinds of ads in which young entertainers like the Ungirls, Ooze Uno, a cosmetic brand for men, in which young entertainers like the Ungirls use Uno, a cosmetic brand for men, to transform themselves. Okay. So they're using, I don't know what they're transforming themselves into, but what do you know? You know, it's a Japanese news story. Maybe they're turning into moths. Immediately after that, their cosmetic sales jumped 3 times higher than predicted. Takehiro Hayashi, not the guy from Johnny Mnemonic, he's the chief of advertising and strategy at Shiseido, said CMs can be viewed naturally if we don't repeatedly use the product names and instead make the ads interesting. This is evil, but many problems remain. Integrating ads into programs, including using them as small props in dramas, may invite criticism. Maybe, you think? And that such an approach is unscrupulous if too excessive. Other new kinds of commercials, meanwhile, cost too much and to replace the existing ads. Well, you know, and as well, I mean, just look at movies like iRobot, where the whole thing was, you know, basically an ad for Converse. You know, they were all like, oh, yeah, you know, and I love my shoes. Uh-huh. You know, what the hell? Even among Even amid broadcasters' competition with the internet and the rising use of multi-channel TVs, terrestrial broadcasting's relative superiority will be unshaken for a while. So they say. We can gather an overwhelming number of customers at one time, said Takahashi Ishii, director of sales planning and developing of the Department of Fuji Television Network Incorporated. But Hikaru Kobayashi, managing director of the Japan Advertisers Association, expressed concern about the worsening ad environment. Commercials will be buried amid a flood of information. Well, you know, I thought the commercials were supposed to be information. Dentsu estimated that TV advertising expenses have leveled out for the last few years. In 2004, such expenses totaled 2.044 trillion yen, accounting for 35% of total ad outlays. You know, I wonder about the other, I guess that would be, you know, newsprint media and all the rest of it. But that's, I would expect to see that here soon, especially with stats where they're saying it's jumping three times the normal size. Three times what they expected to have show up. I mean, it's unbelievable how well this would work. And if you think about it, you know, for the everybody who likes, you could even work that into science fiction. You know, you get some show like Firefly or something like that. And, you know, they got some gizmo that they want to use in the future, whatever. They could use modern-day gizmos. Hell, you could have a whole line of gizmos they use specifically for the show. You know, our, you know, favorite character on this show uses this kind of MP3 player. And that's the only kind of MP3 player you can get is this one here. Have a bunch of spy guys all using different spy tech that you can buy. I mean, it's just like the A-Team lunchbox, you know what I mean? Pretty good idea, but essentially evil. Now on to some crime news. Now this is an interesting story. Thieves are breaking into homes to steal residents' cars as they adapt to new technology, says a Tasmanian insurer. Now you're thinking, what the hell? Racked insurance manager Peter Eaton said the company was identifying a new trend in car theft. He said modern cars with electronic keys and immobilizers were putting car thieves out of business, but the thieves are adapting. If a car thief wants to steal a modern-day car, they need the keys. The problem is increasingly common. Interstate, and they have been one or two instances in Tasmania. Mr. Eaton said there are fewer cars on the roads now with traditional means of entry. There are fewer cars on the road now where the traditional means of entry and firing the ignition will work. For many cars today, you need an actual key to drive away. Mr. Eaton predicted such crimes will become increasingly common in Tasmania as the state's car fleet becomes younger because of the trend towards affordable modern vehicles fitted with increased anti-theft features. He said more than 80% of claims covered by the theft of cars in less than 10 years old involve the use of the car's key. 80% of all the thefts of cars less than 10 years old, the thief had the keys. Typically, these occurred when people left their keys in the ignition to go shopping while parked at the owner's residential address or the easily accessible keys stolen from the house during a break-in. Mr. Eaton recommends that people who are leaving their home unattended should ensure the car keys are hidden. Hidden in your own house! Can you believe that? Of course, I do that on my own all the time. I can never find my goddamn car keys. If you're going on holiday, it's not a bad idea to consider giving your car keys to a friend or a neighbor for safekeeping. Why don't you just take them with you? How about that? You know, you can always do that. Just keep your car keys on a small lanyard and dummy cord that bastard to yourself. You know? That's why my Royal Robins have that little D-ring on it. I don't understand, you know? And further to that, you know, no one is being encouraged, especially in this theft thing. You know, they're saying it could lead to home invasions. And nobody is being encouraged to actually stand up and fight these thieves that are breaking into people's houses. Sick and weird. I don't know why that is. But people seem to be rather ridiculous. You know, they don't want to fight for it. They don't want to fight back. Like, get yourself a big dog. You know? I don't know. Everybody's so concerned about, you know, these criminals' rights. You know? I mean, well, you can't shoot them just for stealing your car. Fuck that. I'd say redecorate. But, you know, hey, luckily I'm not in law enforcement. But, you know, they used to hang horse thieves. Now on to some brain news. Which is something that apparently a great many of us really, really need. In brain size news, brain size matters for intellectual ability, and bigger is better. Now, this time I've noticed, you know, there's a lot of people Ever seen a lot of these geeks? They usually have a massively oversized cranium. You know, I mean, of course, I can now say with some sort of quasi-phallic envy that I take a size 8 and a hat, which is a fairly big noodle. All brains, you know, size being measured. Of course, you know, that's just the skull. Could be like, you know, one of those Tyrannosaurus Rexes where, you know, I have a really big head, very small brain. It's a big toss-up sometimes. I wonder, what would you rather have, $1 million or my head full of quarters? But anyway, brain size matters for intellectual ability, and bigger is better, McMaster's University researchers have found. The study, led by neuroscientist Sandra Whittleson, a professor in the Michael G. DeGroote School of Medicine, and published in the December issue of the journal Brain, has provided some of the clearest evidence of the underlying basis of differences in intelligence. Apparently it has to do with the size of your head. The study involved testing intelligence of 100 neurologically normal, terminally ill volunteers. Jesus, that's kind of morbid. Who agreed that their brains would be measured after their death. It found bigger is better, and the differences between men and women. The differences between men and women. In women, verbal intelligence was clearly correlated with brain size, accounting for 36% of the verbal IQ score. In men, this was true for right-handers only, indicating that brain asymmetry is a factor in men. I see. What about guys who are like ambidextrous, or guys who are like, you know, right-handed, but they're left-handed shooters, like Sariet? You know, like, how does that all work? Maybe he's just weird. Spatial intelligence was also correlated with brain size in women, but less strongly in men. In men, spatial ability was not related to overall brain size. These results suggest that women may use verbal strategies in spatial thinking, but that in men, verbal and spatial thinking are more distinct. It may be that size or structures of the localized brain regions which underline spatial skills in men is related to spatial intelligence, as was shown in previous research in Wilde's lab on the brain of Albert Einstein, because he was pretty smart. In further sex differences, brain size decreased with age in men over the age span of 25 to 80 years, but age hardly affected the brain size of women. So apparently women are smarter longer and men get dumber. Usually if they're married, I would find their brains would probably shrink because they let their wife do all their thinking for them. It is not known what protective factors, which could be genetic, hormonal, or environmental, operate in women. The factor is nagging, just in case anyone's wondering. It remains to be determined what the contribution of nature and nurture are to the cerebral size relationship with intelligence. Whittleson said. She added that these results point to the need for responsibility in considering the likely future use of magnetic imaging, MRI, as brain structure as a measure of the ability of a student in workforce settings. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Brain structure as a measure of ability in student and workforce settings. So, I'm sorry you're too old, your brain is too small, we're not going to be able to use you anymore. Mr. Smith, your brain's too small. We're going to need to be careful in the future. We use MRI brain scans as a measure of ability in any selection process, she said. Interesting. Now, I'm not so keen on having MRIs used in a selection process myself. I don't think that that's really all that cool. But I guess it's technology. Can't really stop it, can you? I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, no, you can't use your MRI brain imaging scanning technology on me? Can't do it. Not allowed. But, well, you know, they're the ones hiring you, right? They're paying you, right? So they can do whatever they want, and if you dispute it, well, I guess your resume goes to the bottom of the pile. This is, just kind of the way the world works. Well, you know, that violates my rights. Well, you know, it doesn't seem that anybody's really standing up for these rights these days. There's not much to really be said. Well, so what? So what if they violate your rights? What are you going to do about it? We'll get the ACLU on you. Well, the ACLU doesn't have a lot of money, and these corporations do. So they'll tie it up in court forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And all the while, meanwhile, of course, you're not making any money because you're not working, and therefore you starve to death and die. Seems that some things will have to change. In energy news. Now, this is an interesting story. It's boom time again for solar energy as Americans open their bank draining electricity and heating bills and search for alternatives and cheaper ways of running their homes. Of course, you know, there's a lot of expensive shit going on with the electricity right now. A lot of stuff going on with the price of oil, so guys are looking for cheaper ways to heat their homes. Solar experts say it's not the first time Americans have looked to the sun for a relief from higher energy bills. And why not? You know, it's this big, massive, it's the center of our universe. Charles Smith, who teaches alternative energy technologies at Appalachian State University, says there were similar booms in the solar energy business after the Arab oil embargoes of the 1970s and briefly during the Persian Gulf War of 1991 until lower prices dampened the enthusiasm for solar. Aha. Smith argues there's nothing really novel about the technology. Inventors unlocked the secrets of how to turn the sun rays into mechanical power more than a century ago, only to see their dream machines drown for lack of interest and funding in a sea of cheap coal and oil, he says. But Sasha Derry, president of Alternative Energy Store, points to the Department of Energy forecasts of continuing high prices for oil and energy and believing the boom time for solar is only beginning. It's going to be almost a year and a half now, Derry said. He said the demand for solar has become so acute in Germany and Japan that there are already shortages in some supplies, and the industry has yet to feel the impact of a federal tax incentives that go into effect next month. I think it's here to stay this time, he said. The fuel crisis is not really a crisis, but a permanent change in prices. Interesting. So, you know, maybe all the shenanigans with the higher-ups in the oil companies are going to wind up slitting their own throats, as it were. Derry and his 14 staff members sell solar heaters, windmills, and other energy-saving devices through the Massachusetts-based internet store he launched in 1999. He said business had doubled yearly since he began, and the customer's base is changing. It's not just the Birkenstock crowd looking at solar for solar environment reasons for their grid-deprived mountainside second homes, but suburbanites trying to cut their electricity bills. The cost of solar repels many homeowners. Solar panels, storage batteries, and installation starts at about $20,000 for modest dwellings. $25,000 to $30,000 for a three-bedroom home. Holy crap, that's a lot of money. It's more, depending on the direction of the house faces during the duration of sunshine and winter months, and the battery systems required monthly monitoring and maintenance, so you have to work at it. The first step is making the homes more energy efficient with extra insulation, fluorescent lighting, and so on, Derry said. Derry also recommends systems that only supplement existing systems, solar water heaters and solar air systems, which cost from $1,500 to $5,000. They pay for themselves in 3 to 6 years. Now, the interesting thing here is that if you're going to do this kind of a thing, right, if you're going to get out there and, get into the alternative energy field, wouldn't it make more sense to build a house from scratch? Now, this is where we get into the concept of geodesic domes. Now, personally, I think geodesic domes are the shiz. I think they're the shizzle. I think they're the shizzy shiz, shizzle shiz. I really like them. They're really hot. However, the wife, not so much. A lot of women don't want to live in a golf ball. I don't know why that is. It's very bizarre. But, you know, they want to have, you know, a nice looking house. Chicks are weird. I don't know why that is, but, you know. As well, you know, me personally, I have a hard time understanding why people would move into a house, fix it up, and sell it. I mean, I understand there's a way to flip it, make money that way. If you're doing it that way, that's fine. But, you know, once you buy a house, you know, it's kind of thought that that would be the house you would want to live in. You see what I'm saying? I mean, personally, if I was going to build a house or my dream home, you know, if you were going to get a loan to buy a house and all the rest of it, well, wouldn't you just, you know, well, especially if you're not going to be leaving your job or whatever, why wouldn't you just build the house up from scratch the way you want it? Now we could have everything where you want it, blah, 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 blah. Just a thought. Just a thought. Now in Terror Watch news. Now here's something. Nobody's ever heard anything about Bangladeshi, but apparently a wave of Islamic terror sweeps over Bangladeshi press at year's end in Bangladesh. Not Bangladeshi, sorry. Bangladeshi's press is getting hit with terrorists. Interesting. Reporters Without Borders and the Bangladesh Center for Development of Journalism and Communication, the BCDJC, voiced deep concern today about a mounting wave of Islamist terrorism in Bangladesh and impact on the press. At least 50 journalists and 10 publications have been threatened by terrorist groups in the past 4 months. 4 months! Like, holy crap, that's a lot of people getting threatened here. Okay, that's like way more than, you know, 10 per month here. This is huge. I mean, these guys are going around, you know, almost every other day. So, but then what are they getting named over? What are they getting harassed over? Well, they're getting these 60 different guys have been threatened over supposedly anti-Islamic articles, yet the government seems unable to restore the confidence in the face of this new danger for the media. So, once again, the good old Islamists out there causing problems. Yeah, at least the Christians only picketed you. I mean, at least they only wanted to put a tipper sticker on there. These guys are like, we'll cut your fucking head off. After ignoring the terrorist threat for so long, the authorities now have a responsibility to come up with a response, the two organizations said. At stake is the safety of hundreds of threatened journalists who want to freely inform the public about the terrorism affecting their country. If the government fails to restore confidence among the journalists, investigative reports on jihadism will not be undertaken, and self-censorship will become the rule. We call on the authorities to establish a global plan for the protection of journalists and publications threatened by jihadist groups. You know, I love that. You know, on one hand, they're going to sit there, especially Reporters Without Borders, kind of a left-wing group. They're saying that, well, we need to be protected. Well, yeah, but every time somebody tries to protect these dudes, they're always like, no, no, you're violating rights. And no, 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 you can't torture anybody. No, 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 no. I can't believe you're, you know, treating these people this way. You know, they're human beings, blah, blah, blah. But for God's sakes, protect us. At least 55 journalists have received death threats since September from Jatmal Mujahideen Bangladesh, the JMB, an Islamist group that has also promised to blow up the 8 newspapers and 3 press clubs. The latest victim, Amar Dash, advisory editor Atmus Samad, received a letter from the JMB on the 22nd of December saying his newspaper would be the next target. So, they're going to blow that shit up, eh? Well, I have a solution here. Why don't we just round up all the JMB and shoot them? The more we investigate and criticize blind terrorism, the more we are exposed. The government is partly responsible for the deterioration in our security. Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. The Bangladesh Observer editor Iqbal Soban Chowdhury told Reporters Without Borders and the BCDJC. The Islamist group have systematically developed their harassment of the press. And these guys are good at it. And this is, you want to see what, you know, I guess this is how Islamists do their business. The threat began at the northern Rajashi region, where JMB founder Bangla Bai has launched an embryonic armed struggle for the introduction of Islamic law. Aha. So Bangla Bai, founder of, you know, the JMB nut bars, wants to have Islamic law, where things like, you know, threatening newspapers and, like, killing people, that's all, they're all down with that. That's cool. You know, very cool, good idea. According to Danik Sangbad, correspondent Janglar Alam Akash, who is also a stringer for the German radio station Deutsche Welle, most reporters in Rajashi censor themselves for fear of becoming targets for the Islamists. Well, that's really handy. I no longer visit areas where Bangla Bai has been active because it is too risky, he told the BCDJC. Now, this is classic. This is absolutely classic. So, what, you know, a lot of people say, well, it can't happen here. Couldn't happen here. You know? Now, I'm sure that there are some really nice Islamic people out there. Okay? I'm sure that they exist. There's probably lots of them. I work with a guy. True story. Work with a guy. He's a Muslim. Seems like a pretty nice guy. But, you know, we're looking at this here, and it's kind of like, well, we got these Islamo-fascists. And, you know, I think we should get past the whole religious thing, and you should just look at these groups that are, you know, the JMB and all the rest of it. And, you know, put them in the same sort of compartment as organized crime, because that's really what they are. They know who the guy is who's running this. They know who the head of the dragon is in this particular case. So why don't they just take him out? Why just walk in there and brainstem the guy? Oh, well, that would be terrible. Well, yeah, but they're terrorizing people, man. I mean, this guy's going around, throwing his weight around, telling people he's going to kill him. That's not cool. That's not cool by anybody's standards. Anybody who thinks it is cool, well, you know, that's part of the problem, isn't it? Not so good. Not so good with the threatening people. Not good at all. That has to stop. And, of course, you know, these people believe that they're ordained by God, which generally means stopping them usually involves putting bullets in them, which is unfortunate. But, you know, this is the face of the enemy. Now, it's, again, these Islamo-fascists, you see them out there, you know, doing their thing. Quite often they're in the public. Quite often they're out in the open, spouting their shit, talking all kinds of hatred. There they are, doing their thing, you know, and I don't know why. I don't know why more people aren't saying, well, fuck it, we're just going to take them out. You know, screw this. Now, it could be argued that, well, you know, nobody really wants to get involved. You know, nobody really wants to have that sort of a thing. You know, Sean, we can't start doing that. How do we get people to not, you know, take the law into their own hands? Blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, maybe the government wants this kind of Islamic, you know, threat. Maybe it gives them a reason. You know, they're a very convenient boogeyman. I mean, it's not hard to stop this. So why are we putting up with it? I don't get it. I don't get it. I do not get it. Same with Louis Farrakhan. Nobody's talking about Farrakhan. You know what's that in the United States? Nobody's saying shit about Farrakhan. Get your hands on some of Farrakhan's recordings. Matter of fact, if somebody can get me a link to some of Farrakhan's recordings, that'd be great. I'd love to get an audio track there. But listen to some of the shit that Farrakhan is spouting. I mean, this nutbag is the leader of, like, well, there's hundreds of thousands of people in the United States who think that Louis Farrakhan is the shit. Okay? And he's a guy who thinks that all white people are experiments by an evil scientist from the dark side of the fucking moon. So, you know, he's spouting shit easily as bad, if not worse, than any white supremacist. So I would wonder why it is that, you know, we're putting up with that. Why is that happening right now? People say, well, that's free speech, Sean. That's free speech. We've got to be, you know, that he's allowed to say what he wants. And you betcha. You betcha. Dude's allowed to say what he wants. He wants to think that I'm an evil alien from the dark side of the moon. Fair ball. Fair ball. Not a problem. But that doesn't mean he gets to be, you know, running this massive organization, amassing money for, you know, terrorist groups. You can say what you want. But, you know, I do believe there are certain things like hate crimes and things like that. Of course, he's black, so, you know, nobody black ever says anything to do with hate crimes. Or do they? I guess that's a whites-only thing. Only white people are racist. I guess that's how that works. I don't understand it. I've never understood racism. Being a good Canadian kid, we don't got, you know, a whole lot of racism going on in my part of the world. That's just sort of the way it is. There's some cultures, I think, that suck some hard ass because, well, they're not very useful. And, you know, they're not much to bring to the table. I'll say that straight up, no problem. No space program, not interested. But we're definitely going to have to take stock here that within the last little while, on a global scale, there is some shit going on with these Islamo-fascist nutbags. Little bit frightening. Now, some other cheerful news here. Let's talk about some suicides. In suicide news, mental health professionals say this city appears to be experiencing a sharp increase in suicides in the wake of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And interviews and statistics suggest that the rate is now double more than the national and local averages. National and local averages for suicides. At least 7 people have killed themselves in 4 months since the storm, officials say. Here in a city whose population is now no more than 75,000 to 100,000. That compared with the national rate of 11 suicides per 100,000 for all of 2002, and a rate in New Orleans of about 9% of 100,000 for all of 2004. There is a broad agreement that the problem is likely to get worse. And I'm going to take this one step further. I bet you that the suicide problem is going to get worse not only in New Orleans, but I'm going to say that's probably going to get worse all over the United States, especially as religion begins to fall by the wayside. And you'd be like, whoa, Sean, I thought you were all about against the Mud Hut thing. And it's true. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Mud Hut. But people are inherently weak. The mind is not that strong. There's a lot of stuff that goes on with the brain. If people realize that something they believed for a long time is a lie. Like, for example, let's say, for example, you could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the entire 9/11 thing, the towers, all that good stuff, let's say you could prove that that is, in fact, you know, completely staged. George Bush knew, totally evil, blah, 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 blah. How many people have based their entire reality in the United States on the supposed story of 9/11? Their pillars of reality would fall apart. The whole nation would be rocked. I mean, my God, how, you know, how crazy it would go? I mean, the very structure of the nation would be wrecked. And now, of course, as who stands to benefit by all these suicides? Who stands to benefit by driving people underneath the corporate heel? Who stands to benefit from that? Why? The Pharmacom companies. The Pharmacom countries. They may as well be countries. But Pharmacom, you betcha, will give you all the speed you need to make sure you don't blow your own fucking head off. That's what it's all about. I'm telling you, sick and weird. Also in brain news. Now this, here's a study. You ready for this one? I don't know. It's coming out of the Journal of Neurochemistry. Like to see who funded this test, but this is what they're saying. You know, of course, what's going to save the day? Suicides are up. Everybody's bummed out. Why, drugs. Drugs are what we need. In brain news, a widely used class of antidepressants appears to increase nerve fiber growth in key parts of the brain. Now, you notice there's a lot of stuff, I find it all over the web, about how the size of your brain, brain. And then this story comes out about how, well, the antidepressants make your brain bigger. Reported in the Journal of Neurochemistry, researchers from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine found in rats that selective serotonin uptake reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, increase the density of nerve impulse-carrying axons in the frontal and parietal lobes of the neocortex and part of the limbic brain. Sounds very technical. I don't think anybody really understands that who isn't directly involved in school at this moment in time. It appears that the SSRI antidepressants can rewire areas of the brain that are important for thinking and feeling, as well as operating the autonomic nervous system, said the study leader, Vasilis E. Kolostos. The news release reports antidepressants such as Prozac, Zoloft, and Paxil, so you actually you got the three big names there, have long been thought to exert their clinical effects by increasing synaptic concentrations of serotonin and neopinephrine, enhancing or stimulating their transfer. But our findings that serotonin reuptake modulators increase the density of nerve synapses, especially in the frontal part of the brain, may offer a better explanation of why antidepressants are so effective and why they take time to work, according to Kolostos. For example, antidepressants increase synaptic monoamines within hours, and the regulatory effects on receptors are complete within a few days. Yet, clinically meaningful results from antidepressants usually require a 2 to 4 week delay. This disparity between simple pharmacological effects and clinical experience might be due to the time it takes for serotonin axons to grow, Kolostos said. For the patient, this hypothesis provides a more tangible evidence of real effect in the brain, he added. In the Hopkins study, Kolostos and his team gave either the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor fluoxetine, which is Prozac, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor tinapram, a drug approved only for human use in France, and the selective neoprene reuptake inhibitor diaspamine, the so-called tricyclic antidepressant, to a group of rats for 4 weeks and studied the anatomical patterns of serotonin stimulation on the various parts of the brain. The results showed that the fluoxetine and tinapine, but not the diaspram, blah, 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 basically 2 out of 3 increased the density of serotonin axons in rats. In rats. So it goes on, there's lots of big words here, blah, 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 talking about it. So they say, you know, all these antidepressants are actually really, really good. Really, really good, you know, especially these ones that are only approved for, usage in France. You know, you got to watch that, I guess. So clearly, we should allow these drugs to be legal here, right? That's what we should have. Everybody should be doing drugs, as much drugs as you can feed your kids. Make sure you get them on Ritalin nice and early. I don't know, man. It never used to be like this, you know. It used to be you go outside, get a bit of exercise, you know, maybe watch your diet a little bit. Maybe try to, well, be healthy. You know, not spending so much time in front of computers, bathing in cathode rays and all kinds of weird radiation all the time. Maybe that had something to do with it. But no. No, clearly I'm insane. It's all about the drugs. We need to take drugs to make our brains bigger. You know, if you sit back and you think about this for any length of time, it starts to sound more and more insane. You know, why are there so many people taking these drugs? I mean, it's almost redundant for me to keep going on about this drug situation, but there's like a craze going on. Now, core political news in Washington, D.C. Early in the morning, the U.S. Senate passed a very important resolution stressing that the Russian Federation must provide effective protection of intellectual property rights or risk not being accepted into the World Trade Organization and losing its eligibility to participate in the Generalized System of Preferences, the GSP program. This is from the RIAA website. The same resolution, which passed the U.S. House of Representatives in November 16, 2005, is intended to help ensure that Russian Federation adopts and enforces aggressive laws, policies, and practices against intellectual property piracy. In response, the Recording Industry Association of America issued the following statement from Chairman and CEO Mitch Bainwall. So this is what the Chairman and CEO Mitch Bainwall of the RIAA had to say. With the passage of this resolution in the Senate, the entire U.S. Congress has made clear that Russian government must significantly step up the fight against piracy as a condition for both its acceptance to the WTO and for receiving preferable trade benefits from the United States. So, you know, here we have a classic example of corporations dictating policy involving trade with a foreign nation. This is not just any foreign nation. This is Russia. They kind of got Russell over a barrel on this one here. This is kind of sick. I mean, when we think about how much problems the Russians have had, not so cool. Not very cool at all. He goes on to say here, the U.S.-Russia relationship must be built upon mutual understanding of shared obligations and the application of the rule of law. Effective protection of American intellectual property has been sorely lacking in Russia. They're bad. This resolution is significant because it expresses the will of the U.S. Congress that Russia must take effective action against those who would steal America's knowledge-intensive intellectual property-based goods and services. We must not enter into political arrangement with countries ill-prepared to adequately protect our greatest economic assets. Dude, you know, Russia needs all the help it can get right now, and they're talking about sharing ideas here. He goes on to say, we are especially grateful for the leadership and steadfast commitment to the protection of intellectual property demonstrated by Senators Lugar, Biden, Hatch, Leahy, Grassley, and Baucus on this issue of critical importance to our industry. We look forward to working with the U.S. and Russian governments in the coming weeks and months to achieve the progress that is so desperately needed. Sick and weird. Sick and weird. That's all I gotta say, man. I mean, you know, on one hand, I can sort of say what the RIAA is all talking about. I can see that. I can see what they're trying to get on about. But on the other hand, should this be happening? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. There is no reason for this to be going on for, you know, there's bigger things to worry about here than what the RIAA has to say. But of course, they got a lot of money. Lots of money. And of course, that would be what makes the world go around. Now, for those of you who are somewhat privacy conscious, I came across an article in a Russian newspaper in Pravda spying on the U.S. security state, countermeasures for U.S. citizens. Very, very interesting stuff. Very good read. And that is today's Daily Hack. Make sure you check it out. It's definitely worthwhile. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 62 people for the month of November. 2 new donators, 10 one-time donators, and 50 continuing donators. Thank you so much, because it really shows that what I do here has some kind of worth. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. And thanks again. And thanks again. Sorry. To everyone in their assistance for gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Junkie XL, Saturday Teenage Kick. We're going to leave you now with a track from the Matrix soundtrack called Navras. So until tomorrow, that is what server said. End of line.